I spoke with Monster Mike Welsh earlier in the week, and I'm going to play the conversation we had for you. Mike's playing at Chan's in Woonsocket, Rhode Island, on Friday, the 26th of January. And let's just see what we talked about. Hey, Mike, how are you?
I'm doing great, Michelle. How are you doing?
I'm fine, thanks. It's so wonderful. Your album, Nothing But Time, it came out last June, and it's really starting to make some noise. You're playing at Chan's this Friday. You and I have been playing at Chan's for so many years. When's the last time you played at Chan's?
I did a show there with Sugar Ray and the Blue Tones sometime last year. The last time I played my own show at Chan's was, I think, 2021. It was one of the very few shows I played between the beginning of the pandemic and then getting sick. And so I'm really looking forward to getting back. It's one of my favorite places to play. And like you said, I mean, I've been playing there since, I think the first time I played there was 1994, maybe, something like that. So very much looking forward to getting back. It feels like home base, and the crowd feels like family.
It sure does. And I know they are so excited to have you back. I played there a couple of weeks ago, and they were already talking about you coming back. So I know they are really looking forward to it. You just brought up the pandemic, and that makes me want to ask you, because I know you really had a time with it. You had the super long COVID.
Oh, yeah. No, I had long COVID worse than almost anyone I know. And the actual experience of having active COVID back in December 2021 wasn't that bad. But then the exhaustion was just bone marrow deep and lasted over a year. And it got better over the course of that time, but really making this album and starting to play again was me reclaiming my own health and deciding to move forward. And it was a leap of faith, and so far it's going very well.
I'm so happy to hear that. You know, you mentioned leap of faith. And I know that COVID, for so many people, whether they had long COVID or short COVID or no COVID at all, it really profoundly changed everything. And for some people, I think, I'm always sort of hesitant to bring this up because in no way, shape, or form am I trying to make a shiny thing out of something horrible. But as sometimes happens, there are unexpected benefits out of things which do not seem to have any positive side to them. And I have found that that's the case with this whole COVID thing, the way that it's caused me to reassess and look at things differently. It kind of sounds like you had that similar sort of experience. Do you think that's a sort of a, I don't even know what to call it, a silver lining?
Yeah, silver lining seems a little sunny and optimistic.
I know, it sounds glib. I know.
But I think there's an element of that. I think that I came out of it more ready to take charge of my own music and express myself than I had been in years. Prior to that, I'd mostly been in situations where I'd been collaborative with people. I spent many years in Sugar Ray and the Blue Tones. I spent a couple years in a band with a great singer named Mike Ledbetter, who passed away at the beginning of 2019. But after the death of my friend Mike, I felt rudderless for the rest of 2019. And, you know, being forced to quarantine and then getting sick really made me take stock of what I wanted out of music and what I wanted to put into my music in a way that I don't think I had the headspace and direction for before.
Yeah. Mike, what a wonderful singer he was. He was truly remarkable.
There's a very good chance to be, a very good case to be made that he's the greatest singer of the 21st century produced in the blues. And my advice to anyone who hasn't heard of Mike Ledbetter is to either check out the record we made, which is called Right Place, Right Time, or to even just go on YouTube and search for Mike Ledbetter. And he was one of my favorite people. He's my favorite singer, and I'm carrying him with me always.
Yeah. I was lucky enough to sing with him one time in Anthony's group up in Canada.
That was a fun gig.
That was a super fun gig, and it was great singing with him. He's truly, truly, truly a voice for the ages, to be sure. If you're just joining us, I'm speaking with Monster Mike Welsh. You have this album, Nothing But Time. You've just talked about how all the various experiences of COVID and, you know, the associated other weirdness that just has been going on and on the last few years.
Weirdness is absolutely the best term for it.
I know. The silver lining of the weirdness. But when I was thinking about speaking with you, I was thinking about how when you and I were both starting out back in the early mid-90s, and you were so young and you got catapulted so fast into such a huge sphere. And then, you know, life goes on, blah, 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 all these years later, and you come on with COVID. And that kind of, it sounds like, and this is what I mean about I know what you mean about silver lining. I agree. Right. And I don't mean to sound glib, but
it drew you up. As far as I can.
Yeah. And it drew you up to say, hey, wait a minute, man, what am I going to do here? What do I want to do here? But what I want to ask you is, do you feel that the fact that you kind of started out on this whole, you know, train so early is partly what prevented you from like realizing that earlier on, you know, stepping up and saying, hey, wait a minute, I want to say this.
I think that's absolutely the case. I feel like that has a lot to do with why for so many years I put myself in collaborative situations rather than being the focal point. Because it was a very strange childhood with a lot of attention that I couldn't really think about it at the time because I wasn't ready to process it. But really, by the time I hit 20 years old, I realized I don't want to be doing this, whatever this is, you know, uninterrupted for the rest of my life. And I started playing with musicians who inspired me. And I mean, I'd always been playing with musicians who inspired me, but being part of other people's music as a way of sidestepping all of the craziness of, and I hate the term, but the child prodigy years and label. You know, I didn't want to be out there as a 20-year-old ex-child prodigy trying to pretend nothing had changed. You know, and I really wanted to keep myself sane in the process. And the best way I knew to do that at the time was to start playing with people like Sugar Ray and the Blue Tones and James Cotton and a few other people that I had a chance to play with around that time.
Yeah, I hear that, brother. If you're just joining us, I'm speaking with Monster Mike Welsh. Do you feel that this album, Nothing But Time, I know that everybody I've talked to who's heard it is so excited about it and so excited about hearing this from you. You know, it's funny. I don't know how you are about this kind of stuff, but I have certainly struggled with my own struggle, which is another conversation for another time. But the commonality is that sometimes you don't realize how much everyone wants you to succeed. You know, when you're in the middle of your own personal journey, you don't understand, at least I didn't, and I wonder if it's the same for you, how much everyone did want you to succeed and come back out. Do you have a sense of that now? Do you feel that that's the case, and can you feel it from everyone?
I have felt it very strongly. I think I got a real lesson in that when Mike Ledbetter passed, that so many of my friends in music essentially were throwing me lifelines. Inviting me out to come play with them, making sure I was okay. And then again, when I started thinking about getting back into it after having been sick for a while, Kid Anderson, who produced this record, who's a great musician, plays Brickheads through the Night Cats, but also a great record producer, he started getting on my case about, Mike, you need to make a record. He was very adamant. You need to make a record where you're the singer, you're the songwriter, and it's your record.
When did you guys start talking about that?
It had been building up for a few months before we actually did it. I would come up with material and I'd send it to him and see what he thought. And his enthusiasm never flagged. And it's really funny because I've never made a record of my own that I didn't produce or co-produce with band members before. This is the first time where I had someone else take the reins as producer. And the interesting thing about it is that I feel like it freed me up to make the most personal record of my career. Whereas sometimes producing a record, there are logistical and technical concerns that I just didn't even have to worry about. I'm eternally grateful to Kid for allowing me that space. And then the label, Gulf Coast Records, is run by Mike Zito, who's another great musician on the scene, and his support was just overwhelming. So
yeah, he's such a great guy.
He's so warm. He has that thing that some people develop doing this, where he ends up having that ambassador quality. You know, that thing that B.B. King had.
He sure does. Like, that's a great way to put
just
it.
Just like spreading, and I don't have that in that way. You know, So I always respect people who just have that kind of generosity and goodwill of spirit, you know.
Well, you're in good hands with both of those folks. That's for darn tootin'. And hey, what about Jerry Jamont's on this record too? Tell our listeners about Jerry Jamont.
So Jerry Jamont is one of the greatest bass players in history. He is a legend of R&B who played with Aretha Franklin and Wilson Pickett and King Curtis. He's done a lot of work with Kid Anderson, and Kid texted me saying, hey, I was thinking maybe for one of these days of tracking, we could have Jerry Jamont come in and play bass. And before I could say anything, he said, don't worry, he's not intimidating. Which, you know, I mean, to me, like, I hear Jerry Jamont's bass, and the voice I hear in front of that in my head is Aretha Franklin. So I'm thinking, I'm going to go out and have to sing in front of this guy. But it turns out that he is the warmest, most collaborative, most enthusiastic musician I know. And actually, the first thing we cut was Walking to You, Baby, which is the first song on the record. And that is a live vocal in the studio. It was just completely inspiring. So it ended up actually pushing me to sing and play better rather than making me curl up and, you know, in fear.
I'm so happy to hear that, but I'm not surprised to hear that. I think that anybody who's truly great, all they ever want is for everyone else to also be truly great.
You know, when those situations line up like that, it's really special.
It really is.
I'm very grateful to Kid for bringing Jerry into this situation, and you know, everyone that was brought into the situation had that kind of excitement and collaborative spirit.
It's so wonderful.
Freed me up to say what I wanted to say and feel like people had my back. Mm-hmm. You know, I didn't have to worry about logistical and technical things or even arrangement decisions. I mean, I tend to make very detailed songwriting demos with drum loops and stuff. But when it goes to the band, I'm always, my feeling is always that they should come up with what they feel. Like, I've just given them what I think is the sketch of how it might go. And everyone just surprised me in the best way possible and supported me when I needed support. And I feel like it's the best I've ever been on a record, in large part because I had so much support from so many great people.
Yeah, well, you sure deserve it. I'm speaking with Monster Mike Welsh, and Mike and I were actually talking before I turned the recorder on about this issue, and Mike Welsh, known as Monster Mike Welsh. Mike, do you want to tell that story again that you told me before?
It's funny. Monster Mike Welsh is a nickname I was given when I was very young.
And who gave you that nickname?
It was given to me by Dan Aykroyd at the opening of the Cambridge House of Blues, and at the time, I had never had any press or anything. I was a 13-year-old kid. So it showed up in the newspaper that my name was Monster Mike Welsh, and I got very dramatic. I'm like, it stuck. And then when I was about 19 or 20, I decided that I wasn't going to go by Monster Mike Welsh anymore. When I started dating the woman who's now my wife, Jeanette, she realized that anytime she would tell people, hey, my boyfriend's a guitar player, his name's Mike Welsh, without fail, they'd go, Monster Mike Welsh? So she was the one who made me wake up and say that it's better that people know me as Monster Mike Welsh than that they not know me at all. So I've gotten comfortable with it. Monster Mike Welsh and I are on pretty good terms these days.
I love that. That's great.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it's so funny because it's, you know, it's not something I ever would have called myself, and there's a kind of aggressiveness to it that I really don't feel is who I am. But even that, I'm kind of owning that these days.
Yeah. Yeah, you should. I think that I'm just so delighted for you, Mike. I'm just so happy. I'm so happy to witness this, so happy to hear the music. You certainly are in good hands with that whole crew of people. And this is just so exciting to witness and to listen to. And I know that everybody here at WICN, we're all huge fans of yours. And we absolutely wish you the best success with this record and with going forward. I can't wait to see what happens next. But I
Thank
know.
Thank you so much.
Yes, absolutely. The truth, my brother. And the next thing that's going to happen, the very next thing that's going to happen, is you're playing at Chan's this coming Friday, the 26th mm-hmm. of January. The show's at 8 p.m. You can go to Chan's website for more information about that show. Mike, what if people want to find out more information about your comings and goings? Where would they go to do that?
MonsterMikeWelch.com has all that information. It's being updated as I know more about what's going on in my life. And then the usual social media. I'm on Facebook. I'm on Instagram. I'm on Twitter, though I never use it anymore. But MonsterMikeWelch.com is the safest bet to find out everything I know about what I'm doing.
That's great. So check out MonsterMikeWelch.com. Is that right?
Yep.
MonsterMikeWelch.com for more info about Mike Welsh. And if you'd like to go to Chan's on Friday night, I know Mike would be happy to see you there. So check
Absolutely.
That out.
And we will have the new record there with us. So if you're interested in taking us home with you, that's the cheapest and easiest way.
Fab. So. You've got some great gigs coming up. And I thank you so much for taking the time out today
to speak
with us.
Thank you, Michelle. This was great.
Yeah, it sure was. It's great talking with you.
Thank you.